We continue our learning of the Mishmas David ben Menachem Rishon and Chamiyakam and Pinchas Aliyah. We are in Bava Mitzia, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud. Echad Schar Adam, Ve Echad Schar Behema, Ve Echad Schar Kalim, Yesh Bo Mishum Biyomo Titain Scharo. This idea that you have to pay on time, this is not just paying wages for someone who's doing work. This is true when it comes to schar, let's say, of a person's animal is doing work for someone. So you have to pay the owner of the animal. A schar kalim, a person is renting the utensils to use someone's kalim. You have to pay him for that rental. You have to do that as well on time. The kalim are doing work for you. The animal is doing work for you, just like a person is doing work for you. You have to pay on time. And the yesh, and the violation of not paying, not holding on to the wages until the morning, that a person violates that as well. The Gemara says that this is derived from the fact that the pasuk says in Parshas Ki Seitzei, lo sa'ashok sachir, that's a withholding of the wages. Asher ba'artzacha. What does asher ba'artzacha teach you? Seems to be superfluous. Ba'artzacha means kolsha ba'artzacha. Anything in your land, which is there to include the schar of behema or kalim, just like schar adam has to be paid on time. If you're renting someone's animal for work, you're renting their tools, their utensils for work, you have to pay on time. Some derive it from the fact, lo salin pu'ulas sachir itcha. Itcha means anytime there's any pu'ula, any work that's being done, itcha with you, which will include not only a person, but a behemah and kalim, you must pay on time. Amos, I asked the Mishnah, when do we say that the Baal HaBayis, the one who's supposed to pay the wages, supposed to pay the salary, the rental fee, whatever it is, at what point do we say that he is in violation of these Isurim? Bizman Shetiva'o. That's when the Sakhir, the one who rented it out to him, that's the one who's the hard worker, let's say, that's when he's demanding, he's claiming his payment, and he refuses to give it to him. But Lo Tiva'o, but the Sakhir, the hard worker, is not demanding the salary, Eino Over Alav. He doesn't violate Biyomo Titein Scharo, and he doesn't violate the Isser of Lo Talin. And the same thing would be true if, let's say, the employer just doesn't have the money. So he also doesn't violate los biyomo titein scharo or lo talin pulas sachir etchad bo, because he doesn't have the money now. Then the Mishnah continues and says like this, himcho etzel chemvani o etzel shulchani. Here, the Baal HaBayis, the employer, said, doesn't have the money to pay right now. And he says, listen, I'm sending you over to the chemvani, to the shopkeeper. He's going to give you food, which is the value of the money that I owe you. Or to a shulchani, he sends him to the banker, the money exchanger, and he's going to the money changer, is going to give you, he's going to give you money instead of me in my place. Eino over olav, says the Mishnah, then we say that the employer, if let's say the shulchani didn't pay on time, the chenvani didn't pay on time, person agreed that the chenvani could pay him, the shulchani could pay him, then the employer, eino over olav, does not violate these prohibitions either. The Gemara explains this based on the following. The pasuk says, lo talin pulas sachir, which sounds like in all circumstances you can't leave over the wages overnight. The Gemara says, Yochol afilu lo tava'o. Maybe that would be true even if he didn't demand the money for him. Tam lamar, itcha. What's itcha? L'da'atcha, which means l'rtzoncha. That's only where you willingly don't want to pay him. But if he doesn't claim anything from you, you don't have the money, so then that's not a violation. It's only when it's very clear that he wants to be paid and you're not willing to pay is when you violate that. That's when we consider it's l'da'atcha. Let's say you don't have the money. So that's also that itcha. What does itcha teach me? Sheyesh itcha. That's where you have the money. What if you send him off to the shopkeeper or the shulchani? What about in that circumstance? Do you violate anything? No, that's also derived from the word itcha. Itcha means only where he's now coming to collect the money from you, but if the understanding is he's going to collect it from someone else, so that's not the employer's violation. Obviously, you should pay him eventually, but he does not violate that. Then the Mishnah says, Sochir bizmano nishba vinotel. So here he have a case where Shimon, let's say, worked for Reuven, and he's coming to demand his schar. It's time to pay me up. And the Baal HaBayis, Reuven says, the employer says, I already paid you. So what do we do now? So the Mishnah says here says that Nishba, Shimon, who's the Sakhir, who's the hired worker, is able to swear that he was not paid Vinotel, and he gets to be paid. Now, what's the Chiddush of that? So generally speaking, when it comes to taking a Shvua, it's usually where the Shvua is there to exempt you. We typically take a Shomer. A Shomer swears, oh, I wasn't negligent, and therefore I'm exempt. The general rule is Nishba v'Niftar. You take an oath and you exempt yourself. It's usually not Nishba v'Notel. You don't usually take an oath in order to be paid something. Nonetheless, here we transfer the Shavua to the, it's not the Baal HaBayis, the employee who swears, I paid you already and therefore I'm exempt, which is what we would expect. It's the employee who has the right to swear, and through his oath, he's going to be paid. Why did the Chachamim transfer the oath to the person who's going to potentially be paid? If he's willing to swear? The answer is because we assume the employer is so busy, and because of that, times he has a lot of workers, a lot of employees, he may have forgotten to pay. We assume the Sakhir is the one who we can trust a little bit more, and therefore he takes the Shvua that indeed he was not paid, if he's willing to take that, and he's going to pay. Now, this is all true. The Gemara says where the Baal HaBayis, the employer, hired this Sakhir, this worker, with Edim around. But if he hired him, there were no Edim who can testify to the fact that he was hired, then the Baal HaBayis is believed to say that he paid already. Why? He has a Migo. What's his Migo? Since we trust him, because he could have claimed, I never hired you, and no one can prove otherwise. And yet he's willing to admit, I did hire you, but I paid you already. So through that Migo, the Gemara says in Shavuos, on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis, the Baal HaBayis then would be believed to say that he paid, this in a circumstance where there were no Edim around when this worker was hired. Avar Zmano, if the person now comes. So this is all the Mishnah had said where it was Sakhir Bizmano. If it's the Sakhir and it's Bizmano during the time that he worked, during the time that he worked, it is time to be paid, so he makes this claim. But if it's Avar Zmano, which means after the Chiyuv Tashlumin, the obligation to pay, it already passed by. And so let's say, I know he's a Sakhir Yom, he's hired for the day, and he only came the next day to claim his money, Eino Nishba V'Notel. Then we don't allow the hired worker to swear and collect the money. It's the Baal HaBayis who, assuming there's this argument, and the Baal HaBayis said he paid him already. Here the Baal HaBayis swears that he already paid him and he's going to be exempt. You'll say, I thought the Baal HaBayis is so busy. That's true. But once the time of Chiyuv has elapsed, the time of payment has elapsed, we assume that he pays attention to pay the person, and he's not gonna withhold the wages past that time, and we're not afraid. We don't suspect him to violate lo sullin. Im yesh edim shetavao. If though the hired worker has witnesses who can testify that he, Shimon, the worker, came at the end of the time. Let's say he was a Sakhir Yom, and he came at the end of the night, which is when he has the right to collect the money up until that point. Or is this Sakhir Laila, and he came to claim the money at the end of the day, and the Baal HaBayis said in front of Edim, oh, I'll pay you later, then Harez Enish Bavanotel. Then he, the worker, has the right to swear and collect the money. He has Edim to prove, who say that he can claim the money, and the Baal HaBayis now says, I paid you. Well, the Edim don't know that they paid. They can't testify to that. So therefore, now the employee is able to swear and collect. The Gemara says this is all true that entire day of Tevia, of that he has the ability to claim or demand the money. So for example, let's say he worked Monday, the whole day Monday until the evening. So what's the time of collection, of payment, is the entire Tuesday night. Or Leil Shlishi, we should say Monday night, which is Leil Shlishi. So all of Monday night, a halachic day, Tuesday, all of Monday night is when he has the right to collect. So that means that whole Tuesday, that whole Monday night, after he worked Monday, he, the employee, is Nishba V'Notel. There's an argument whether it was paid or not. He can swear I was not paid and can collect the money. But if it's Tuesday daytime, then he cannot collect with a Shavua. It's the Baal HaBayis who has the upper hand. But let's say he brings Edim that says at the end of Monday night, I have Edim who testify that I came to you and demand my payment. Then he can be Nishba V'Notel, swear the employee, swear and collect the entire Tuesday daytime because he has Edim who swore there Monday night, at the end of the Monday night, and then he would testify that he demanded his money. But from Tuesday night, Leil Revi, Tuesday night and on, then we assume Hamotzi Mechavei Levaraya. Then it's the employer who has the upper hand. Let's say he brought Edim that he was constantly from the very beginning. He demanded his money all the way from Monday until Thursday in the morning. Then he could be Nishba Venotel the entire day of Yom Chamishi of Thursday until that night. Then the Mishnah says Ger Toshav. The Ger Toshav is a non-Jew who's accepted upon himself the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. He eats in Nevelos. He's non-kosher. But a Ger Toshav, he lives in Eretz Israel. He has every right to live in Eretz Israel. We have non-Jews in Eretz Israel. No problem. So as long as they're willing to accept upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So what's the halacha if he works for you? Yesh bo mishum biyomoti tein scharo. This pasuk is referring even to the ger toshav. You have to pay him on time. The pasuk says, O mi gerecha asher ba'aretzecha bishorecha. Bishorecha, one who lives in your gate. This is the one who we're referring to is the ger toshav who's keeping the Sheva Mitzvos, but he eats non-kosher. How do I know that Bishorecha is referring to the ger toshav? Because the pasuk says, Lo sochlu kol neveila la ger asher bishorecha titanan vachala. Bishorecha and Bishorecha. So it's the ger toshav who's the Bishorecha, and therefore you have an obligation to pay biyamoti tein scharo, where it says, O mi gerecha asher baritzacha bishorecha. But that's only the positive command of paying on time. The ein bo mishum lo salin pulas sachir itucha ad boker. But the negative commandment, don't withhold the wages, that does not apply. That's only referring to Yisrael. Because what does it say at the beginning of that pasuk? In Vayikra Yotes, lo sahashok es reacha. And then it says, lo salin pulas sachir. Reacha is a Jew and not a ger toshav. Perek Tes Mishnah Yud Gimel Hamalve Es Chaveru. Person Reuven lent money to Shimon, and it's time for Shimon to pay out. Does not pay. Lo Yimash Kenenu Ela Bebeisdin. If Reuven now wants to take a mashkon, a collateral, this is not a collateral that was taken in the very beginning of the loan. This is where Shimon cannot pay up. So Reuven takes a mashkon. Where should it be done? It should not take it against his will, even outside his house. It must be done through a shaliach beisdin, where the mashkon is taken from the lover with the permission of beisdin. That's what it means by beisdin. Voloi kones leve soli tol mashkon. No, and he should not enter. And this is even the shaliach beisdin should not enter the house of the lover to take the mashkon. He stands outside. Shneamar vachutzamo. This is in parashas. It says, well, pasuk. Oh, this pasuk is parashas ki seitzei. Shneimar b'chutz tamod. The first full pasuk is b'chutz tamod. Vo'ish asher naton lo shebo, the one who you are the creditor upon, which means the love, yotzi. Meaning we have a malve, and the one who owes you money, yotzi elecha sa'avot achutz. He'll take the collateral outside. And the braisa learns the following: the fact that it says b'chutz tamod, so it's superfluous. It says stand outside. And the person who you want to take the collateral from, he should bring it outside. That's obvious. If we told you to stand outside, then he should bring it outside. So what do we need this extra phrase, v'ho'ish, etc., to include a shliach based in? And therefore, the pasuk saying is like this: stand outside, and you who are the shliach based in, not only the malva, the shliach based in, right? You stand outside, and he will bring that outside to you. So, what's the difference then between the malva and the shliach based in? The shliach based in can take a mashkon from the lova as long as he's standing outside the house. He can't go into the house, and he can do it outside the house, but he can do it against his will. The malva cannot himself, not a shliach based in, cannot collect the mashkon from the lover against his will. It must be given midato. So the shliach beisdin has a little bit more power than he, the fact that he can collect it against his will, but even the shliach beisdin cannot enter the house. That's learned from the extra phrase v'ha'ish, etc., after already the pasuk says b'chutz ta'amon. Says the Mishnah ha'yulu shnei kelim. Let's say the mashkon, he gave him two utensils. because let's say you didn't have one utensil that was the value of the entire loan. So the love gives him two utensils. What should he do? He should hold on to one and return the one and return the other, assuming the love needs it. And the Mishnah explains what that means. For example, he borrowed $1,000, he borrowed $100, and so for the $100, he took a plow for $75 and he took a pillow for $25. So he has to return the pillow at night and he can hold on to the plow. And during the daytime, he returns the plow and he could hold on to the pillow. So that's what the Mishnah says. V'imeis, and if the loved dies, Eino machzir liyoshev, the malved does not have to return the collateral to the yorshim, to the inheritors. Because the pasuk says, Hashev tashiv lo es ha'avot. Lo means to the loved himself. If the loved eventually pays up, he returns the collateral to him. But to the yorshim, he does not have to do so. Then the Mishnah says, "Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer afla atzmo eino machzir." Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, forget the yorshim. You don't have to return it to the lova himself. Ela ad shloshim yom, up until 30 days. Up until the day 30 days, then you should return it. But beyond 30 days, you don't have to return it even to the lova. Even if the lova now has the money after 30 days, you the malva can keep it. That is all Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Umishloshim yom alahalon mochon bebeistin. And what do you do after 30 days? So sell the kalim that you took as a mashkon and beistin, and collect your chov from selling those. We don't follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, though, and therefore, if the lova needs the mashkon, he can always take it and return it, and alva, we don't allow him to sell. Let's say the mashkon is something that the lova, though, never needs, it's just something he owns, it's a value, it's not a plow he needs during the day, not a pillow he needs at night, so then there's no reason, so then the malva can hold on to the mashkon up until 30 days, then he can sell them in Beis Din. Said the Mishnah, Almana ben shehi aniya u ben shehi ashira eim mashkenoson. Almana, whether she's poor, even if she's wealthy, you can't take a mashkon from her. Even though, right, and even a shliach based in Shenei Amar, the Mishnah quotes the pasuk, v'lo sachavol, also in Parshas Kiseitze, v'lo sachavol beged almana, don't take as a mashkon the clothing of an almana. An almana, regardless whether she's wealthy or not, or whether she's poor or not, you cannot take a mashkon from her. Some claim that this is only speaking about the time of when it's not the time of halva, meaning she doesn't pay up, you can't take a mashkon. But to take a mashkon at the very beginning of the loan, that's a normal that you're allowed to do at the beginning. That's not considered chovel, and others disagree. Then the Mishnah says, ha-chovel is a-rechayim, a person who takes as a mashkon a millstone, rechayim shalyadid, hand mill, which is something that's movable. It's obviously something you have, but it's not like the mill is attached to the ground. So this is something you can take as a mashkon. A person who takes that, this is a person's bread. We can't say bread and butter. This is bread. This is a staple. You need the millstone in order to grind the wheat, the grain, in order to make bread. Over below taase, you violate a negative commandment. And not only that, it's a double violation because you're taking two vessels from him. Because the rechayim has two parts, there's the rechev, well, literally the rider, the one on top, the top stone, and the rechayim, which is the lower one. Shnei Amar, the pasuk says, lo yachavol rechayim v'rochev. So even though they use for one malacha, it's coming to teach you that you're in violation on both for two, because you took two kalim. V'lo rechayim v'rechev bilvan amru. The chacham didn't only say that a person who takes that as a mashkon is in violation of two kalim, el koldavar she'osin bo ochel nefesh. Any kli that does any ochel nefesh, you have pots and pans, ovens and things like that. A person who takes them, this is in his violation of every kli bifnei atzmo alone. And even if he is taking a mashkon of two kalim where they're both used for the same malacha, he gets malkos for each kli alone. as he does for the Rechayim and the Rechet. Shneamar ki nefesh hu chovel. That comes to teach you, what do you mean, why do I need the extra? You just told me you can't take Rechayim v'rochev, which is a millstone, as a mashkon. So why do you need to say ki nefesh hu chovel? You're taking the mashkon, it's his soul, it's his life. This is a staple of his. That extra phrase comes to include any other kelim that are need for ochel nefesh. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that says the following. Chaval zug shel saparim vitzemit shel paros yachol lo yehe chayv el achas. I would think if you took, it's the scissors of the barber or the yoke of two cows, maybe you chayv for only one violation of taking that. He needs it for his work, but you took it every, but it's only one kli. Tamamor lo yachavol rechayim varochev. Ah, what do I learn from there? Says the Raisa Mare Chaim Varechav Shem Yuchadim Shnei Kelim Bosim Melacha Achas. They are designated as two Kelim, but they work together for one Melacha. And yet, Vechayev Al Zebifnei Atzmo Val Zebifnei Atzmo. And yet, Yechai for each one a set of Malkos for taking it as the Mashkom. Af Kol Devarim Shem Shnei Kelim Yuchadim. Yet, Bosim Melacha Achas, Yechayev. And everyone, and that's even the scissors we consider two kelim, and the yoke as well, because it's on two paros as well. That's a double violation.